Hey there, friends. Welcome to the New Testament in a Year podcast. I'm Sean Bailey, and we're going to dive into God's Word together. So whether you're brand new at this reading the Bible thing, or you've been doing it for quite a while and looking for a different approach to it, you're in the right place, because the ultimate goal here is to make God's Word approachable and understandable for everyone. And today we're going to dive into Matthew chapter 16. So grab your Bible if you can, and listen closely if you will. Let's read God's Word together. As we always do, we want to preview or recap the previous chapter so that we can have the context for what our current chapter is. And we just finished up Matthew chapter 15 in the previous episode. In Matthew chapter 15, you may remember that Jesus confronted the Pharisees and the scribes about how they were putting human traditions and rituals over God's commandments. We saw him perform miracles and feed the 4,000 with just 7 loaves and a few small fish, and it highlighted his compassion and that ability that he has to be a provider and trust in him for that, regardless of whether we feel worthy or not. And so this sets the stage for today, where we're going to see the themes of understanding and faith continue to unfold before us here. So as we look in 16, here are the big look fors, okay? The big look fors that we have today while we're doing our reading is, first, this demand for a sign. We're going to see the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who are these religious leaders, two different groups of religious leaders, and they're asking for a sign of Jesus, and basically showing how much of skeptics they are and the lack of faith that they truly have. And Jesus responds with the sign of Jonah, pointing to his resurrection as the ultimate sign. And we'll see that ongoing tension between Jesus and religious leaders occur. But look for that. Next thing to look for is Peter's declaration. As Peter, we'll see that this is the first really explicit acknowledgement by a disciple that Jesus is the Messiah. Peter makes that declaration. And Jesus, as a result, will bless him for that. And notice, I want you to listen for it. I don't want to say it because it will set up the suspense, but listen for what Jesus calls Peter. He gives Peter a name. And it's a pretty impressive one, to say the least. And then finally, the third big rock we want to look for is that Jesus teaches on discipleship. And discipleship, more clearly, I guess, he teaches on the cost of what it is to truly follow him. And that's self-denial, denying yourself, and taking up your cross. Listen for that. That concept of losing one's life in order to find it. That's that big paradox of Christian teaching, one of them, is that if you want to find your life, you've got to lose your life first. So let's look for those big rocks there as we read Matthew chapter 16. Here we go together. We'll start in verse 1, of course, and go all the way down to verse 28. 28 verses in 16. Not a very long chapter, but a good one. So let's begin. Verse 1 of chapter 16, where the Pharisees and Sadducees come up. Here we go. Let's read. The Pharisees and the Sadducees approached and tested him, asking him to show them a sign from heaven. And he replied, "When evening comes, you say, 'It will be good weather because the sky is red.' And in the morning, 'Today will be stormy because the sky is red and threatening.' You know how to read the appearance of the sky, but you can't read the sign of the times. An evil and adulterous generation demands a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah." Then he left them and went away. The disciples reached the other shore, and they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus told them, Watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were discussing among themselves, "We didn't bring any bread." Aware of this, Jesus said, "You of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves that you do not have bread? Don't you understand yet? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for 5,000 and how many baskets you collected? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many large baskets you collected? Why is it that you don't understand that when I told you, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, it wasn't about bread?" Then they understood that he had not told them to beware of the leaven and bread, but the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Verse 13, Peter's confession of the Messiah. Verse 13, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Well, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But you," he asked them, "who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus responded, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he gave the disciples orders to tell no one that he was the Messiah. Verse 21. From then on, Jesus began to point out to his disciples that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and scribes, be killed, and be raised on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Oh no, Lord, this will never happen to you." Jesus turned and told Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me because you're not thinking about God's concerns, but human's concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will find it. For what will it benefit someone if he gains the whole world yet loses his life? Or what will anyone give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will reward each according to what he has done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." And that is Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Let's pause a moment. Let's reflect on what we just read. Find some application, some talking points, and then really unpack what we have before us. All right. So in reading Matthew 16, a lot of good stuff and some things that you go, "Oh, I remember that part of the Bible. I remember that story. I think I've heard of that before." Well, the first thing that I want us to really try to take away from this, other than that I remember that in the surface level memory, is finding a deeper understanding. Because in God's Word, one of the most important things we can do is to see ourselves in the Word so that we can find application. And the first thing I would ask us to do is to look at this takeaway and do just that. First takeaway is that we have to know that true faith isn't about just seeing miracles or signs. It's not about, oh, I had this vision, or man, this thing happened, this came up, God must be real. No. True faith is about recognizing Jesus's divine nature, recognizing his mission, and trusting in that. Not seeking out a sign to appease the flesh, but instead finding that heart level trust in Jesus. See, Peter's confession, it reminds us that recognizing Jesus as the cornerstone of our faith is absolutely essential. Peter confessing was the very first time that this happened by a disciple. And that changed everything. And Jesus told him, "You are the rock upon which I will build my church." Peter. And Peter stands for rock. And so practically, we can work towards this recognizing that we're not searching for those signs, but recognizing Jesus's divine nature and his mission through opening our eyes, giving us, praying for that those eyes to see, but also meditating on the Gospels, learning what, like we're doing now, his character and his nature. The second big takeaway is that cost of discipleship we talked about in Matthew 16:24. If anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You see, Jesus doesn't promise an easy path at all. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that life is just going to be rainbows and butterflies once you give your heart to the Lord. Instead, following Jesus comes with a cost. See, Jesus asks for self-denial, to turning away from yourself, letting your old self die, embracing the new, and carrying our cross and those challenges that come along with following Jesus. And what this means is making choices every day that align to God's will, even when those choices are so difficult, we still make them. We've got to prioritize that spiritual growth over our worldly gains. Boy, that sounds good. And if we could just, okay, I'll do that, how easy would that be? It's a heart level commitment that every day reminding ourselves, it is all about you, Lord, and not me. I want to grow spiritually, embrace those challenges instead of seek ways for self-gain, because we have to deny ourselves. That's that cost of discipleship. And finally, the last big takeaway is this promise of eternal life. Jesus takes these worldly gains and contrasts them with that eternal life. We need to look at the eternal significance of our choices. What good is it if you gain the whole world and lose your life, lose your soul? So the promise of eternal life is not just about the future, but it should influence how we live today. And we can embrace this promise by living values that reflect Jesus's teachings, that compassion, integrity, humility, self-control, patience, kindness, gentleness, all those fruits of the Spirit. Embrace those fruits and let us bear those fruits. Because we need to bring that eternal significance right here to today and not just wait until tomorrow. It should influence us today. That's that amazing promise of eternal life. What good is it to gain the whole world if you lose your soul? Worldly gain is a major obstacle to our eternal gain, isn't it? All right, good stuff, good stuff. Chapter 16, short but great. Loved it. Thanks for joining me today. Looking forward to chapter 17, where Jesus is going to reveal his glory in that transfiguration. And we're going to see the mysteries of the faith revealed. Looking forward to that. So can't wait to continue on to Matthew chapter 17. At any rate, thanks for joining me today. appreciate you guys. May you be blessed. May your family be blessed. And may you strive in all that we do to be a blessing to all those around you. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to the New Testament in a Year podcast, where we simply read the Word of God and we try to unpack it so we can find application in our lives, knowing that there is nothing more powerful than God's Word. You see, Scripture is the only source that teaches us who God is and what God wants of us. My encouragement is that the Word of God will bless you and ultimately bless your friends and family. I'll encourage you to share this podcast with your friends, share it on your social media or by word of mouth. Join in, let's read the Word of God together. And through this, may God be glorified through our reading, listening, application, and understanding of His Word together.